It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
It's new.
What?
The flyer. Mr. Yamada is putting them up again. You don't think they're gonna find them, do you?
Not how they want to.
Everything was perfectly set up for this movie. I loved it.
We found two black balloons at the scene, Gwen.
And we never released those details.
What aren't you telling us?
Everything makes sense in the film itself. Nothing seems cheap. Nothing seems tacked on. Nothing seems like it's bullshit.
Even the papers call him the grabber.
Just wish you wouldn't say his name.
You don't actually believe that story, do you?
No.
Because he can't hear you. He doesn't really take kids that safe.
I know that.
It did things that I did not expect. And so, because it had restraint, because it was patient, because it didn't fall into the same pitfalls we've seen time and time again, it was a wonderful surprise.
I am a part-time magician. Would you like to see a magic trick?
Yeah.
We never did see a magic trick, goddammit.
We did. He made five kids disappear.
I was really starting to like you, Finny. I almost let you go.
We know what we're going to see. Yeah, we know what this fucking film's about. So all we need is just a black van and somebody getting out of it and fade to black. And that kid's gone.
Hello?
Don't go upstairs.
Why not?
It's a trap.
Because if you don't play the game, then you... He can't punish you, and if he can't punish you, then he can't kill you. You gotta play this game.
What's up with the phone, huh?
I told you it doesn't work!
It used all of the good tropes and didn't fall for any of the bad tropes.
Hell, nice to fucking meet you, Finny Blake. Right here. This is it.
This is what?
The horrifying nightmare end of your pathetic little life.
If you get it half as bad as I did, you don't want to know what's coming for you. Today's the day, motherfucker.
The payoff in this movie was so fucking good.
I was impressed at every turn. Yep.
Thank you.
For what?
For helping me.
Helping you? This isn't about you. Fuck!
Hello, my friends. I am Cash Wampum, your host of the Horror 101 podcast, and we have a delicious 124th episode for you this month. 2 days before we rolled the microphone, a new horror film became available for stream, so we picked it up, and this will be one of those rare shows where none of us have seen the film we're about to cover. I can probably count on one hand how many times we've been able to do this for our listeners in over 10 years of podcasting. This movie is the next chapter in horror collaboration by director Scott Derrickson and Ethan Hawke, who worked together in Sinister. It is our privilege to present you our Horror 101 treatment of The Black Phone.
Okay, so my biggest question about this film is, does this mean that, did Savini come out of retirement then?
He designed the masks.
Well, he also designed the masks for a WWF wrestler a few years ago.
He can still draw and shit. He can't sculpt anymore.
His
hands are fucking 75 years old. He can't sculpt anymore. So he doesn't do...
The physical...
He still has a school and everything.
Yeah,
you know, he teaches people what to do, but he can still sketch. Well, I mean,
like I said, he designed a mask a few years ago for a wrestler, and now he's done this.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. And more than likely, it's just people that, you know, they grew up loving his shit, and now they've got a chance to make their own film, and they knock on his door saying, hey, can you be a part of this somehow? You know, this is
Scott Derrickson, right?
Scott Derrickson, I got the name right. Yes, same guy that directed Sinister, which also had Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Which was a fantastic film.
Yeah. Sinister.
Which was a fantastic film. And
turn on the lights!
Yeah, I know, eh? That whole fucking movie, like, right behind him, there's like four lights in an array there. And
it's
like,
that
just
Eddie Murphy bit again.
Reach back and turn on a light, any fucking light, buddy. What are you doing? It's your own fucking house. You don't creep around your own house in the dark, man. Turn on a fucking light. You hear a noise come from the attic? Turn a fucking light on. All of them.
Unless you're in their basement and you just watched
REC. And you have to turn them off behind them. Yes. Yes. That's the only thing where you're like, okay, if I turn off this light, then I got to make it 20 feet in that direction before I get to the next light. Clink.
Your house had the scariest stretch of walkway, which was where the bathroom was.
Yeah,
if those lights were out, it was the fucking void.
The dark.
You're like just an abyss on both sides. You went down that hall.
The dining room and the living room.
Yeah,
you're expected to see some spectral face come out of that darkness every time you cross that dining room.
Like Captain Howdy for fucking Exorcist just appears out of nowhere.
Pazuzu just walks into your dining room.
So Black Phone, same director as Sinister, Ethan Hawke now playing the villain, as opposed to, you know,
the protagonist.
Yeah. And now it's scored really high everywhere. It's, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, a lot of people are saying it's tense. There's a few people. The biggest critique I've got so far, everybody's seen the trailer for this far, right? You've seen the trailer for this?
I have not.
You haven't seen the trailer
for this? I saw a trailer and it told me absolutely shit about this movie.
So well, I actually didn't know it was Supernatural until the second trailer came out.
And that's some people that had a problem with it were saying that the trailer was a bit misleading. The trailer portrays it as this kind of movie and you don't get that kind of movie.
No.
But a lot of people are saying it's tense. I don't know if it's overly violent or disturbing, but apparently it's a tense movie. It's well written, and it's set in the 70s, so cell phones are out of the equation.
From what I've read, the creepiest beside him is like the mask,
and he's got several masks.
Right, but it's the one you see in the poster.
Right,
I think they call it the cowboy look. I don't know why, but that's what I read.
Yeah.
The creepiest part of it is the fact that he is like, his character is an unabashed child molester and child killer.
He's Fred Krueger without the burning.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and a lot of people are like, it's very realistic, which is probably going to be my problem with it, you know, for obvious reasons, but that's what I'm reading. So.
One of my coworkers, because remember I told you a whole bunch of new people started, just starting to meet them in the office and stuff. He's a huge horror movie fan, and he's watched this. And I told him that we were actually reviewing it this week. He's like, oh, you're going to love it. He's quoting Rotten Tomatoes, and I gave him our website. I'm like, you should listen to us. I said, this is our website. So, yeah, he absolutely loves it.
You like this one?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Your phone's ringing.
So, and the one thing about Black Phone is, like, I actually have a big-ass black rotary phone right next to where I sleep because I use it as an alarm. You know, Helen will give me a call. It sounds like... The reason I keep it is when the phone rings, I'm not a light sleeper. I'll sleep through an alarm if I'm really tired. That fucking thing goes off. It's like a recess bell 3 feet from my head. I'm up! I'm fucking up! Reaching for the phone. Hello! Got the fucking cord that's wrapped around everything. Hello, thank you for the call. Yes, I'm up. I'm up.
I just picture a Rube Goldberg design where the phone rings and a series of levers and pulleys dumps a bucket of water on you.
No. I don't need anything that fantastic, but that phone works, so that's why I kept it, right?
I was taking notes in our minds.
I think I bought it for like $5 off. It was at like a flea market or something. Like, does this work? Yep, I'll buy it. It's a rotary phone. And it's like, even like when you hang it up, just putting the handset down on the cradle, it goes ding.
Yeah.
It's just enough of a concussion to give it a little bit of a ding when you hang it up. That's how old school this fucking phone is. Phone's probably older than most of our listeners, for fuck's sakes. So, black phone, I've got one. I've got this. We're going to watch it. Nobody here's seen it. I don't know what to expect. I hope it's excellent. I really do.
All the reviews have been really, really good.
If it's half as good as Sinister, we should all be in for a good time.
Would you like to see a magic trick?
Yeah.
Tell me your name.
Taylor.
I was really starting to like you, Finny. I almost let you go.
Don't hang up.
Who are you?
You know all our names?
It doesn't work. Hang it up. I made you some breakfast.
What'd you put in that?
Salt and pepper.
Have you seen this boy?
My brother, he was taken.
By a man with black balloons.
I had a dream about it. Please let the dream be real.
How?
There's a combination lock.
What's the combination?
Hang up the phone!
You don't have much time.
You're gonna use a weapon.
You are special, Vinny.
Please hurry!
The creepiest damn thing.
Oh, this is
going to
be creepy.
Go ahead. Hey, everybody. Cult Sensation here. Just letting you know that this is going to be pretty spoiler heavy, so you might want to watch this movie before listening, or if you don't mind it being spoiled, you're still going to like it anyways.
Starts at the baseball game.
Yes.
Thins the pitcher.
He's got quite the arm on him.
What? How did the kid say? It was 70s slang. What do you say?
Arm is mint.
The arm is mint. That's right.
You almost had me. You almost got me
almost
there.
Almost got me.
Yeah, if that last ball wasn't mown on the inside, I don't think he would have clipped it.
You know what I like seeing? Well, because this was a 78, right? 77, 78? Yeah. And at the end of the game, everybody's shaking hands. I thought there was going to be like some bullshit between the two kids because there's a rivalry.
Or whatever.
And they were cool, you know, and good sportsmanship, even with kids at that age, you know.
Yeah.
I remember playing t-ball and softball when I was a kid. And at the end of the game, everybody'd line up
and
start smacking hands.
And then the cooler of Crush, and I'd always want it with cream soda. God damn it.
Cream soda.
Everybody else would get it first, and I'd be like, ah, fuck, only cream soda's left.
But the Asian kid that fucking hit the grand slam. Bruce. He's on his bike, and you see that black van, and somebody getting out of it, fade to black. You're like, oh, okay, Bruce, see ya. And then there's a missing poster.
It didn't go through the whole, like, showing them abduct the kids and do all the thing. Like, literally, you see the van, and then it...
That's it. That's all you need to know.
We
know what we're going to see. Yeah, we know what this fucking film's about. So all we need is just a black van and somebody getting out of it and fade to black, and that kid's gone.
It's new.
What?
The flyer. Mr. Yamada's putting them up again. You don't think they're gonna find them, do you?
Not how they want to. Come on, let's go. We're going to be late.
I know I've said this before, but I think it does actually make sense here. As somebody who has a kid, it's really good that it wasn't exploitative,
yeah,
about how they show these kids being kidnapped and all. Because you could have easily gone into that, right? Like, they could have easily filmed this or, like, they're showing everything that happens to all these kids and how, you know, they're all crying and all. They could have easily done that. And other films do stuff like that. They didn't.
You wanted to see me?
Gwendolyn Blake, this is Detective Wright and Detective Miller.
Miss Blake.
They would like to talk to you about something.
Is it true you're friends with Amy Yamada?
We have homeroom together.
What did you say to Amy about her brother Bruce?
Just that I had a dream about it.
What kind of a dream?
Just a weird one.
What happened in your dream?
He was taken, that's all.
By a man with black balloons in a van?
Yes.
What else can you tell us about your dream?
Why? It was just a dream.
Who else knows about the dream?
Nobody.
We found two black balloons at the scene, Gwen.
She's got these visions like her mom did. She's clairvoyant or whatever you want to call it, and she let loose a few things that she knew about that the cops didn't release.
Right.
They get wind of her talking about black balloons and shit, and they're like, where did you hear this from? She's like, I dreamt it. And they're not buying it because they're cops.
Yeah, I took them down because obviously I'm the grabber, you dumb fucking fart knockers.
Gwendolyn Blake!
Gwen. What aren't you telling us?
That sometimes my dreams are right.
And then, of course, the cops start talking to her her dad at work, and he just starts beating the fuck out of her because he's a drunk asshole.
Goddamn vodka! Oh, now you listen to me. Listen to me. You are not your mother. That means you do not hear things that are not there. You do not see things that are not there.
Okay.
They're not there, Gwenny. Okay. And your dreams, they're just fucking dreams. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Do you understand me?
Yes.
Say it. I want to hear you say it.
My dreams are just dreams.
Say it again.
My dreams are just dreams.
Say it again.
My dreams are just dreams!
That girl, though, she'd already had the belt. And she just grabs the bottle of vodka and just holds it. And it's like, you dropped it. And she's like, oh, well then. And just drops it. I'm like, I love this kid. If I had a kid, I'd want to be just like that. But I'd never beat her.
Clear,
but right? I would shower her with praise. And she could talk to Jesus in her dollhouse all she wants.
Well, isn't that just peachy keen?
Need some help?
You see that?
Yeah.
Would you hand me my hat? Yes, sir. I am a part-time magician. Would you like to see a magic trick?
Yeah.
Abracadabra.
Yeah.
Magic. He's a magician. We never did see a magic trick, goddammit.
We did. He made five kids disappear.
Are those black balloons in there?
Yeah.
What's he? What do you think? It was ether or something? He was spraying something in the kids' mouth.
Yeah, it was obviously some sort of a knockout gas type of thing.
Because he's like, yeah, you probably can't see too well right about now, right? Can't see shit. That fucking room, dank-ass, gray, fucking nothing but cement room.
With nasty-ass mattress.
Nasty-ass, a toilet with no seat, just a fucking ring. You know?
Yeah.
I'll scream. If someone's upstairs, they'll hear me.
No, he won't. Not with the door shut.
He?
With the door shut. No one can hear anything down here. I soundproofed it myself. So shout if you like. You won't bother anyone.
You're the one who killed the others. Bruce. Robin.
That wasn't me. unless someone else. I will never make you do anything that you won't like.
I recognize why Derrickson would want to use work with Ethan and Hawke again, because they did so well with Sinister. But do you think Ethan Hawke was a good choice for the Grabber?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Unexpected for him.
Really? Yeah, because normally he's in the, you know, the romantic films, the sunset films, right? The Before Sunset and all that kind of shit. You know, the one we did. The
Well, he was in, like, Gattaca and...
Yeah, he's Alive. Yeah. Alive. He's had an eclectic career. Yeah. But he's never been this.
He's never been a villain.
Never been a villain.
Unless you see Moon Knight.
I'm hungry. I need food.
How were your eyes?
They hurt.
Well, I can't bring you anything to eat. You'll have to wait.
Is there someone upstairs who will see you bring me food?
Don't you worry about that.
If you weren't going to feed me, why'd you even come down here?
Just to look at you. I just wanted to look at you. Okay.
And there's depth to the character. Like, there's a few times where you catch him crying behind that mask.
Yes.
Like, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
You know, there is something going on there. Like, obviously he's a horrible fucking human being, but he's got his own tortures, because you can catch him crying behind that mask when he's talking to this kid.
Yeah.
You know, figuring out exactly how this is going to end.
Don't hang up.
Who is this? Why not?
It's the first thing you lose.
First thing you lose when?
You know when.
How do you know my name?
We met once. Your arm is mint. You almost had me.
Bruce.
That was, again, one of the great things about it, is because after they were dead, they don't remember things. They don't remember their names.
Yeah.
All they know is where their bodies are. Part of the whole disconnect of it, is basically saying their memory was fuzzy. They're only remembering very specific things.
Well, they didn't even know where their bodies were. They just knew where they last were.
Yeah.
Did the phone ring for you?
It rang. Just you. The Grabber hears the phone too, but he doesn't want to believe it.
Why are you calling me?
There's a dirt section of the floor in the hallway where the tile is loose.
Okay.
Dig down underneath the foundation. I tried, but there wasn't time for me to dig up and out the other side.
We'll have enough time? Hello?
The suspense is great, and it's kind of an escape room story. It's one part Sixth Sense, it's part mystery, part serial killer pathology, because there's a story behind him. They give you just enough little bits and pieces about what makes him tick to make him interesting without ruining everything with too much exposition.
Hello?
Don't go upstairs.
Why not?
It's a trap.
Are you Bruce?
Who's Bruce?
I was just talking to Bruce.
I don't know any Bruce.
He's the baseball player.
We don't play baseball here.
I'm actually quite glad that this didn't step over the line into sexual abuse, because they were hinting they were going to go there.
Well, they hint at it pretty heavily, like we said, I'm just watching you, I like to watch you. Like,
I just wanted to look at you. And thankfully it never went there, but I don't know.
Do not go upstairs.
What is he doing?
He's waiting on the other side with that fucking belt. He didn't say you can leave. So if you try, he'll punish you. He'll beat you with that belt till you pass out. It hurts, kid. It hurts real bad.
Hello?
When Finn is about to go upstairs the first time, and he stops and it pans up, and then you just see him sitting there topless, but he's just sitting there at attention with the strap in his hand.
Grunting.
Just because he knows. You can hear him crawling up the walk up the stairs.
He's just anticipating him coming around and being able to just fucking wail on him or do whatever he wants.
But honestly, I can't think of a scene I dislike. So
he's used to a certain formula where he allows the kids to think that there might be hope of escape, right. And then they try to escape, and then they make things worse, and it just goes downhill from there. Finn doesn't do that because he's getting warnings saying, "Don't go upstairs. Here's what's going to happen to you if you go upstairs. Don't do this. Don't do that."
I'm starving.
Tell me your name.
Why do you care?
I usually don't. I find out eventually in the paper. They always print a nice big photo with all the details I could ever want. All the things you boys lie about.
What's different this time?
It's complicated, isn't it? Too complicated. Everything's different. Nothing's going right.
You can let me go.
I'm thinking about it.
I promise I won't tell anyone. You can blindfold me, drop me off on the street, I'll walk home.
Well, tell me your name.
Taylor. Taylor Mullen.
I was really starting to like you, Finny. I almost let you go.
Now, here's a question. Had he actually told him that his name was Finn, do you think he'd have let him go?
No.
No? No, that was just a ruse?
That was just a ruse.
Yeah, he was looking for any excuse
to
punish him.
Smart writing, because had he done that, he wouldn't have let him go, and then you would have known that, you know, there has to be a formula to this, right? From the grabber's perspective, there has to be a formula to that.
Yeah. So like the only way the game ends is with the kid dying.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's...
So they don't write Finn into a corner by admitting the truth, right? Like, if Finn had said, yeah, my name is Finn, and then the grabber is forced to admit that he's not going to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose everything else about the rest of the film, right? Because then you know, like, the whole thing's up. The grabber is lying.
Hello?
You don't have much time. The grabber hasn't been sleeping. He thinks this might be it, that he's going to figure it out.
Who's going to figure it out?
His brother upstairs.
Are you Griffin?
Who?
Griffin's side.
Probably. It's all a little hazy, but I imagine you know all our names.
Why hasn't he killed me?
You won't play the game. You have to play the game. If you don't play, he can't win.
What game?
Naughty Boy. If you don't play Naughty Boy, the grabber can't beat you. And if he can't beat you, he can't move on to the next part. And the next part of Naughty Boy was his favorite part.
What's the next part?
You don't have much time.
Because if you don't play the game, then he can't punish you. And if he can't punish you, then he can't kill you.
Right.
You gotta play this game. I thought that was really well done.
He's not been sleeping.
You said that too.
Yeah, well, he is now in his chair. He passed out, waiting for you to play.
What good does that do me? Wait. The door's still unlocked.
The door is still unlocked.
Do I just go?
There's a combination lock on the inside of the storm door. It was my bike lock.
Your bike lock?
Yeah. He took it when he took me.
What's the combination?
I don't remember.
Griffin!
I remember being afraid I'd forget it. That's why I wrote it down.
What? Where?
I carved it with a bottle cap in the wall.
Which wall?
The one on the right. about shoulder height when you're sitting down.
Well, what's the combination? I etched it in the wall. Okay, well, it's kind of written a little serendipitously here. Yeah, what does this mean? Is it this, and this? Or is it this, that, and that?
I don't remember.
You're going to have to try them all. You got the numbers, so you try them all. But when he's sitting there and the camera is focused on him, then they change the aperture on it and they focus in on that white face that's sleeping behind him. And then back to him, I'm like, that's wonderful. Brian Stewart called it before they even did it. He's like, great framing. I'm like, what's he talking about? Sure, they changed the aperture on it.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Right, he's in front right, keeping the back, and it wasn't in focus yet. But we're
They used a decent lens with really shallow depth of field so that everything was nice and blurry. I was actually half expecting that when they kept going back and forth.
More points?
Yeah.
More points for not doing what you're expecting.
Exactly, yeah.
My big problem is, okay, he actually escapes. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, serpentine. Especially when you see that he's got into his van to chase him down.
And he runs into the van.
Like, if I don't know about you, but when I was that kid's age, flying over fences and disappearing in the alleys and shit was, like, fun for us,
or
man.
Or your backyard.
It's just like, especially, like, you hear that van coming for you. It's like, okay, well, you can't drive into somebody's back fucking yard. Gone. Yeah, I would not have run down the street. I'd have been gone.
You say one fucking word, and I will gut you like a pig right here in the street.
Again, he had the lock undone. He was out the door and running just as he was getting on his feet. So he comes out of a stupor, grabs his keys, runs out of the house, gets into his van, starts it, backs out, and starts, and he chases the kid down with the van while he's only five, maybe six houses down.
How do you know he backed out? He came around. He was coming around. He was
okay. I'll give you that the van was at the end of the driveway, facing out towards the road.
Anyway, all I'm saying,
not gonna happen.
You can't give a kid too much credit
at this point. I feel like you're literally just nitpicking. Like,
really? You don't think anything I just said has any validity at all?
I'm sorry. How many movies have you seen when they run up the stairs instead of running out the front door?
Nighty-night, naughty boy.
You'll be sorry when I'm dead, and all this guilt will be on your head.
I don't know. I just had a weird feeling, so I just decided to look up who wrote this.
Scott Derrickson wrote part of the screenplay.
He adapted it.
Yeah.
For work by Joe Hill.
Yeah.
Joe Hill is his pen name. His real name is Joe Hillstrom King.
Oh, so it's Stephen King's boy.
Yeah, his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember he said he wrote the Black Phone.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Also, unlike his dad, he can stick a fucking landing.
He can actually give us an ending that's not fucking stupid.
But also followed the trope of his dad doing supernatural kids.
Yeah,
this is some misery.
The whole phone not working, but you know, spirits of those killed in that room coming through and helping him out. That's kind of kingish. That's kind of kingish.
Robin?
Hey, buddy. Don't cry.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. I can see you.
You can?
I'm with you. I've been with you this whole time.
You have?
A man never leaves a friend behind. My dad didn't leave his buddies behind when he went to NAMM. That's why I didn't come home. And I'm not coming home either. And I'm not going to leave you behind.
We'll be together again soon.
Fuck that. You ain't gonna go like I did.
I've tried everything. Nothing's worked.
Yet.
Robin.
You remember what I told you?
That I needed to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Before that.
That someday I have to stand up for myself.
Someday is today, Finn. Today is the day you stop taking shit from anybody.
Not a fighter like you, Robin. You couldn't even take him.
You've always been a fighter, Finn. That's what we have in common. While we were friends, you were always afraid to throw a punch, but you always knew how to take one. And you always got back up. Every time.
I'm not strong enough.
You have to be. You're getting out of here. If you can't do it for you, do it for me.
What does it matter?
Because I don't want to die for nothing. I want to at least have died for a friend. And because I can't kill that hijo de puta, you have to do it for me.
How?
You're gonna use a weapon.
What weapon?
The one in your hand.
The phone?
Nick, favorite scene?
Honestly, the part where his friend is teaching him the, like, you know, tell him to weigh up the phone and use that, because it, you can see, like, in the beginning, like, the, oh, what's that kid's name? Robin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can see, like, you can tell he knows how to fight, like, he's doing it, then you just see, like, you know, Finn's doing it, and then eventually it's like they're almost doing it in unison, even though he can't see them and they're there. Like,
yeah.
I just thought the way that those they eventually synced up and you could actually see it, it was just kind of like that little moment of character development. Saying that, you know, like, yeah, because even when, after he gets taken, and the sister referred to Robin in the past tense, and he's like, no, he is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know, I just thought that was just a nice little moment of, you know, like, it was like a little bit of growth, like, because his friend finally, instead of, because he finally realizes that, you know, Robin's not there to fight his fights for him and to keep the bullies away anymore, he's gonna have to stand up for himself. And just the way that they eventually kind of synchronized, and then once he got the move down, is he moved to the towards the wall, and they did that really nice blocking shot, and then he's just, he's gone.
He's gone, yeah.
Because it's like, no, this is the last call.
I miss you, Robin.
Then get out for me. Use what we gave you.
I will.
Bye, Finn.
Bye, Robin.
Oh fuck, Lord. Yeah! When that whole montage there, where the brothers piecing shit together, and he's buying shit to bury the body with, it's the entire Pink Floyd song from Dark Side of the Moon, On the Run.
Okay. Yeah, On the Run. Yeah.
They play the whole fucking song. Yeah. I haven't been that surprised since I watched Rob Zombie's Halloween, and they played all of Tom Sawyer. Man, they played the whole fucking song in that. I'm like, this is great. What a fucking great song, man. I thought that was great.
Only good part of the Halloween.
Yeah, one of the only good
parts. Just thinking of the only time you've ever said Rob Zombie's Halloween and great in the same sentence.
When Ken Forey gets off the truck, yeah, I give her a big drink, and it's Tom Sawyer, man. It's fucking Rush Tom Sawyer. I'm like, what a great addition to this movie as a huge Rush fan. And then this one, and nobody likes that song. You hear it on the radio from time to time. That and Any Color You Like. Listeners, if you're Pink Floyd fans, I love synth shit. On the Run and Any Color You Like are probably two of my favorite songs besides Brain Damage and Eclipse off that album. The whole album is fucking excellent. But On the Run, though, I love just the way that that whole synth goes back and forth. I love that song. So using the whole thing, I'm in.
Is actually my favorite scene is when the five deceased kids kind of blocked your way to give her an indication you're here type of thing.
Stop. Like, yeah, right,
yeah.
Here.
I like got like goosebumps like from my head all the way down to my toes. I was like, yeah, that was like, holy shit. She knew she was looking for the tree that was like
the dead tree.
Yeah, yeah. Leafless. And with the specific screen door 7741. So they basically brought her there, and that's when she contacted the police. And again, I truly think that her role was to discover them.
And you know what? Now that we've recognized that it was Stephen King's son that wrote the story, it makes sense that the filmmaker would make that huge homage to it.
Hey, Georgie, you don't want to leave without this, do you, Georgie?
No fucking way. I knew that he was hiding something from me down here, but holy Mary, Mother of God.
Please. Oh, can you call my dad? Call my sister.
Oh, listen, don't worry. He's not here. He had to go into work. I'm Max, man. Stay calm. I wonder if he's freaking out this morning. Hey, you want to know the story about how I found you, man?
No.
Hey, no. Don't worry about it. We can talk about this.
No.
Also, one of the best fake-outs in the entire fucking movie is because that brother was in the house where the kid was.
Yeah.
He was keeping an eye on the place while his brother was out of town.
Yeah.
Without you realizing that he was going back to the other house afterwards. Like, that was fucking genius because it led you to think that all this was happening in one location.
Normally, I would use a knife. But you are special, Vinny. I'm gonna take my time. I want this to really hurt.
At some point, I knew that putting the carpet over the pit there that he had dug was going to come into it, but when he falls through it, you see that the grate that we had forgotten about for 60 fucking minutes was there on a 45-degree angle just to catch his ankle and fucking snap it right there, and then he starts beating on him with that fucking phone, and he's doing the coming in, coming out, and then wham, you know? I thought that was great, you know? That was fucking great.
Exactly how Robin showed. And he was so worried about his mask. You know,
as soon as the mask went off, he was
freaked out about that. Covered his face, and that was Finn's opportunity to.
A little Phantom of the Opera moment there.
And put the. Strangle him with the phone and letting him listen to the fucking ghosts of his victims tell him to go fuck himself as he's dying.
It's for you.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Welcome to the nightmare end of your pathetic little life.
You don't have much time.
Today's the day, motherfucker.
I can't kill you, hijo de puta. So Finn is gonna do it for me.
Finn's arm is mint!
Fuck you, we got you, motherfucker.
How they cleverly changed, it's basically the same words they told Finn, but they changed it and for him, like for the killer. It was smart.
The payoff in this movie was so fucking good.
I was impressed at every turn. Yeah.
I think this is fucking fantastic.
I love this movie.
Yeah, so
did you guys not like it? Your comments, I don't know, it's questionable.
I loved it. It is like Cabin in the Woods. It's a fucking love letter to all the best parts of some of the really good movies that have come out in the last 30 years.
This could have been so generic. And it could have just been retread and recycled and boring. And I thought the execution was amazing.
I think they
borrowed well from other properties and other ideas, but what they put together was exceptional. Like, I think they really put this one together really well.
I am super impressed.
What I like is that it's rooted in real, grounded domestic drama. And I had the same feeling watching this as I did watching Super 8. Where in Super 8, it kind of loses points because everything to do with aliens bored the shit out of me, but everything having to do with the kids and making their movie, I wanted to see a whole movie about these kids making movies.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to watch it again.
You know, we said that Last Shift was kind of an homage to Carpenter, right? Into Assault on Precinct 13, right? This, it borrows as well. Like, I think we're seeing signs of a filmmaker that can borrow bits and pieces from other films and actually do something intelligent with them, not just do a retread, not just a quick cash grab. I mean, this was so much more than I expected.
Just to put a bow on what we were talking about earlier in the preamble, Scott Derrickson left the film to come make this film. The film that he left to make was Doctor Strange.
Oh, really?
And when he didn't get the creative control that he wanted, he dusted off a script that he had, which turned into this.
You're talking about the multiverse?
The multiverse.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So this is what he directed instead of multiverse.
Because, like, what, Raimi was, like, the third director that they got for
that
one?
Apparently. Yeah. And so, I mean, I liked Multiverse. I think it was handled by Sam Raimi the way Sam Raimi handles films. It was very good. But I'm really glad that decision was made. Because I don't know who else could have made this film and had it be this smart and this well put together. This is excellent.
My name is Chief Walker of the Denver Police Department. Our community's long nightmare has finally come to a bittersweet end tonight with the rescue of the missing Blake child, but also the discovery of five bodies we believe to be the other missing children in the area. Here are the facts of the case by the men who broke it. Detective Wright?
Thanks, Chief.
Let the good times roll. Let them knock you around.
Nude, score this film for me, please.
I'm going to give it a 10.
Get out of here, a 10. A 10.
That's his maniac. Or misery.
Everything about it was smart. Everything about this movie was smart. Everything had a purpose, in my opinion, had a purpose. The music was, like, throughout. The soundtrack for the whole movie was fantastic. I believed everything that happened here. Like, obviously, the I see dead people type of thing was, you know, again, you have to believe in ghosts in order to appreciate that, but I do. So I think that's why it's a combination of a whole bunch of my favorite types of movies, and I just think it may have been jumbled, but it all had a purpose being jumbled. Like, you know, the girl had her part, he had his part, the cops, the brother had his part, as idiotic as he was, the brother of the killer had his own part. Everything was perfectly set up for this movie. I loved it.
High praise from Nude, a perfect 10, wow.
I'd watch it again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that the phone? You hear a phone ring? I'm gonna go see who it is. Then I'll get you a soda. Then I'll come back and explain everything.
Paul B., you want to score this?
Gonna give it a 9.5.
Wow.
The few things might be little piddling issues, like the car. I don't believe the cable going through the carpet or whatever. But, no, this is... For a movie that I honestly wanted to see just for the creepiness of the mask... To be as smart and everything makes sense, everything falls into place the way it should, and they don't explain things. They don't give you the explanation for things. They don't have the jump scares that you normally expect from a horror film, especially a modern horror film. Really smart, really well acted. Everything about it was excellent. I think the last time I was this surprised by a film that I hadn't seen, like, it's a brand new thing I'd seen, would be the Maniac remake.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything that I've been that impressed with.
Same.
Since the Maniac remake. Considering that this is Blumhouse, I'm not a huge fan of Blumhouse, but Scott Derrickson has proven that he can make some excellent films, make some smart horror films. This is the pinnacle of what he's done. This is excellent, excellent, excellent film.
It doesn't work. Not since I was a kid. Hang it up.
Nick, score it.
10.
Really?
Really.
Holy Christ. Everybody's happy tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think I think I was actually the first one to really start talking after the movie, because I decided there's so much I wanted to say about this movie. Like, I was actually like, I wanted to go check and see like what the Rotten Tomatoes scores were and stuff for that. Like, I think Metacritic only has it like 65%, and I was like shocked, because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I tend to be somewhat critical of movies.
You?
Me?
There's no snark tonight.
No.
No snark tonight.
Like, I honestly feel like I'm maybe a little overly jubilant, because I was so impressed with it that if I watched it again and gave it a little more critical eye, I'd probably scale it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But on a first watching, I love this. Like, I would, like, honestly, like, in the beginning, I kind of got, like, a little nitpicky, because I was, like, I was worried that this was going to be so trope-heavy, because I was even, like, blurting out some shit at the beginning. I was like, oh, God, with these opening credits, oh, is this the new Godzilla movie?
Yeah.
Because it was one with that same, like, you know, jump cut style, you know, but no, like, I liked the setting. It was set in a, you know, the time period worked for it. Like, it wasn't, they didn't do the time period, because a lot of times, if you get a modern horror movie made in a previous time, it's just so they can take cell phones out of the equation. So
yeah,
they could do something with a script that they wouldn't be able to get with or get around
in modern times.
But honestly, yeah, like, it, the time period worked properly. The setting was good. The art direction was good. The casting was good. Like, that, the kid was great. The sister, That little girl, like, yeah, she was amazing in this.
What the fuck, Jesus?
Like, Ethan Hawke, even though he's behind a mask for, like, 99.9% of this movie, you never really clearly see his face. Even when the mask comes off, his hand's immediately on the face afterwards. Like, it's all body language and nuance, and even, like, just he's conveying with his eyes, and he's just so subtle, and like, there is that menace and that mania to him, and be, like, yeah, like, my nitpicks with this movie were so few that I'm just so happy to be surprised and actually have enjoyed this and had a, you know, clever, well-written, well-thought-out, well-paced, well-directed, well-shot. Like, wasn't overly heavy on the, like, CGI squibs. It, like, it didn't beat you over the head with, like, you know, really shitty CGI effects for the kids. A lot of shit was practical. It was really good lighting. It was shot well. The depth of field and the focus pulls on that scene when he's fucking with the combination lock to get out. Like, it had restraint. It was patient. It was paced well. It was clever. It didn't, like, it used all the best tropes and ignored all the bad ones. Like, yeah. Yeah, it gets a 10. On a first viewing, it gets a 10. I get the feeling that if I watched it again, I'd probably scale it down to a 9, but I still loved the shit out of this movie.
Jesus, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck? I ask you for help when you give me these clues that don't mean anything. And now this morning I wake up without any dream at all? Seriously, what the hell is wrong with you?
Brian Stewart, you want to score this?
This is strictly heart over head. I had to. I'm trying to compare. Is this a 10 movie for me? And I'd be comparing it to Misery. I'd be comparing. What else have I given a 10 to? I'd be comparing Maniac. It to The Changeling.
And
The Thing. Maniac. Yeah, and it's just a hair short. I think it's a 9.5 for me, and that's not a bad score at all. Like, 9.5, this is an amazing film. My fear is the same as Nick's. Will this hold up with repeat viewings? Will I see it the same way now that all the mystery is done? Like, all the surprises are out. That ending, I think, will still save. Not the ending I complain about, but the survival part. That is so well constructed. All those little reveals and the messages from the kids and all of the escape tactics coming together all at once, I dare say that will still be enjoyable to watch a second time. Mm-hmm. I think that'll still work. But for me, why this movie is so great is, like, we're all, you know, horror veterans here by now, right? I'm watching this movie and it's a Blumhouse film, so I have, you know, preconceptions of this being a very canned, thrown together, built by committee horror film. I'm waiting, I'm setting my watch for the jump scares, and I'm just waiting for a particular type of horror film. And I'm waiting for the formulas to kick in, and I'm waiting for the patterns to emerge. And this movie cleverly defies every bit of expectation that I had. This didn't turn into a paint-by-numbers horror film. This didn't turn into a, I Know What You Did Last Summer, but, you know, a jump scare every 45 seconds or something. This was a very clever film, and it was way more clever than I ever thought it was going to be. And that, pulling all of the survival tactics together at the end was great. I mean, having Ethan Hawke as a villain, this is going to be his only Black Cat role? I mean...
That I can think of.
This
is his first and but so far only.
He nails the voice. We have a villain, like I say, where we get just enough that we're intrigued by his psychology, but it doesn't over-explain everything. Like, everything that I would expect from a horror film from this studio, this does one better. The script is clever, the kids are well written. The domestic story is interesting before we even get to the abductions. I like all the kids in the film. It's like we said in Poltergeist, we get to like the family before the shit hits the fan, right? It just does that. Even the high school level stuff with the bullies feels real and grounded and interesting. So there are established relationships before we get to the villain. And when we do get to the villain, he's interesting. And there are well executed moments of real suspense in this. I will say this, though, for the first hour, I wasn't scared as much as I was intrigued. I was fascinated by the mystery. I'm like, where are we going to go? And so, it has a great air of mystery. And when the supernatural element is introduced, I thought it was an interesting hook. And I thought, well, where are they going to go with this? And at every point, when I thought they were going to make a misstep, like Paul said, how many times did I think, oh, here comes the jump scare now? And there wasn't one. It did things that I did not expect. And so, because it had restraint, because it was patient, because it didn't fall into the same pitfalls we've seen time and time again, it was a wonderful surprise.
If you try to touch me, I'll scratch your face. And whoever's coming will see and ask why.
This face?
I'll give it a 9. It's certainly not perfect. I did enjoy it. I thought it was... it was better than I thought it would be. I have a few problems with it, which I've already voiced. My only problem is there was a few suspenseful moments where I was like, well, how's this going to end? You know, like, this is great. Great suspense. There was like 3 or 4 really good suspense. The end with him getting the better of this fucking clown was great. That was fantastic. And even though, like, okay, he's going to strangle him with the phone cord, I'm like, I don't really buy that. But then it was the catalyst to say, here, this phone call's for you, motherfucker. Yeah. You listen know, to these
you
fucking...
You know what that reminds
you know
me
what? Of? Listen to the people who fucking killed you. These people killed you.
That reminds me so much of Misery when he's shoving the manuscript. You want this, you eat it.
Take it.
It's like, oh...
The subject matter is like, okay, kids in danger, we know this guy's a killer, but there was really no grit to the story. Like, we didn't know exactly how bad things were going to get. We knew, obviously, in the end, the kid was going to be dead and buried, you know, and that's bad enough, I get it. But there was no grit there. I think they could have injected a few pieces where you would have felt terrified for this kid. And at no point did I really feel terrified for this kid. Yeah, it sucked. He's abducted. Yeah, he's in a room where he can't get out. You know, when he comes out and he realizes he gets through the wall, but he can't get out of the fucking the meat locker, and he folds and starts crying in the corner. That was good. But there, I was hoping for just a little bit of grit where we are really terrified about what's going to happen to this kid before he dies.
Oh, they need it.
We don't get that. And I think that's a missed opportunity. If you're going to go this route, you're dealing with a child abductor, rapist, killer. Give a little bit of grit in there and make us terrified for what's going to in store for this kid. We don't get that.
This needed that Silence of the Lambs moment when the light is being pulled back up and she can see the human fingernails embedded in the walls. That's what we
needed.
It's
funny you mention that because I thought when he was going around with the light, I thought he was going to see like blood stains and like evidence that shit was going to go really bad, and we don't get that. So just if it would have just a little bit of grit in there just to make me disturbed and really terrified for what was going to happen to this kid. the fact that I'm giving it a 9 is because it went in really good directions. I just the reason it's a 9 and not a 9.5 or a 10 like some of you guys is that there was a
there was a little more,
just a little bit more of a grit, just like my like okay, everybody loves like the new Mad Max, the Fury Road. Everybody was like, that's fucking fantastic movie and fantastic movie. I will always put Road Warrior above that movie because Road Warrior had a fucking grit to it that the new movie didn't have. Yeah, it was action packed and it looked great and there was violence, but Road Warrior had a fucking grit to it where the stakes were fucking high and you were dealing with maniacs, like horrible fucking people. The new movie didn't really have that. It was implied that shit was stupid, but Road Warrior showed you just there was a grit to it. This movie needed just a little bit of grit to just push it up there, just to fucking push it right up there. It was a fantastic film, but it's not perfect for me. That's all I'm saying. And I am so happy that everybody fucking loved this movie. You know, it was a surprise to me that it was streamed. I thought it was still going to be at the theater. I was waiting for it.
Like, it's still in theater.
When we went to see Top Gun, it was on the marquee. It was still playing, right? It might even still be there. So when I looked on Wednesday and it was like, yeah, it's streaming. I'm like, let's get it. And as soon as I told, I put it on the Plex, and I told Newt, I'm like, yeah, hot off the Plex. You guys might have saw it on the House of Horror, right? And Helen's like, well, how about movie and popcorn night? This was yesterday. I'm like, how about we do this movie tomorrow?
Yeah.
And she's like, fucking hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that everybody had a great time tonight.
I was down here once when it rang. Creepiest damn thing. It went off. I was right next to it. I picked it up without thinking. Hang up the phone now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our 124th episode, The Black Phone, a Scott Derrickson film based on a short story by Joe Hill, starring Ethan Hawke, Mason Thames as Finney, and props to Madeline McGraw as Finn's sister Gwen. She is awesome. The production of this entire film was shifted just so she could clear her schedule and be part of the movie. The director was that adamant about having her in the cast, and it was such a smart move. Not since our Maniac show many, many years ago did a brand new movie push our scores so high. Obviously, we recommend you check The Black Phone out. We hope you enjoyed our treatment of this film. If you'd like to support the show, consider heading to patreon.com/horror101 and dropping us a pledge. Supporting patrons get access to our catalog of cutting room floor segments that we release mid-month between shows. If you're a fan of the podcast, there's a ton of extras waiting for you in there. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening. And reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just gonna scare the hell out of you, and we're gonna help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears. You know, like, if he's making changes to the room, Buddy's gonna notice it and do something about it. That grate falls off the window. You don't hear about, nothing is said about it. You don't ever see it again until at the end he goes through the carpet and that's the instrument that busts his fucking ankle.
And you totally forget about it. Completely forget about
it. And Buddy's not going to notice that the window all of a sudden has no bars on it.
Andrew, you missed it. It's a great reveal.
Oh, do you want to punch him now?
Punch him!
Oh, God. Great reveal.